Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did because... And by the way, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, in case you didn't know, in case you just tuned in, in case you just found us. You're going to be glad you did find us, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, because we got our good friend Judith Glazer back on the show. Judy is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a great friend, and she's the author of The DNA of Leadership. She's an executive coach and the president of Benchmark Communications. She's the author also of a book called Creating We, which we've mentioned many times before, and one of the smartest people I know. Judy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so exciting to be back here again.
It's always a pleasure.
I love what we talk about.
Well, I love having you on the show because you're a smart lady and you've got a lot of good things to say. And one of the things, though, you've gotten smarter recently, even, as hard as that might be to believe, you've actually gotten smarter because you've been learning about what you call the five brains.
Yeah, this is the scoop on the five brains. Most of us think that we have one brain because you look at your head and you say that's a brain. But what is so extraordinarily happening every day in the world around neuroscience is that we have instrumentation now. We have things like fMRIs, and we have tools that enable us to go inside the brain and see it in ways that we've never been able to before. And so isn't that amazing? You know, it's just
it really is. And I remember a while back learning that there's a part of our brain that helps us remember faces.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? If you wonder why when you see somebody and who looks like somebody you know, mm-hmm. and then you look at them a little harder and you realize, no, that the nose is not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, how did I know that? How could I, you know, but you know, how do you remember? I mean, the brain, the human brain is an amazing, it's really kind of a miracle, isn't it?
It's a miracle, and this is what you're talking about, which I just think is fascinating. What we now believe, it used to be that we thought that the brain and the human being were built around just survival of the species. You know, Darwin convinced all of us that. But what we're now learning is a new language, which is that our brain and the human beings are so social, so far beyond what we ever thought, that it's not just about people competing against each other. We are really here on this planet to build a social organization and to be able to leverage each other. And that without another human being, we are nothing. And so social is the most important thing. And the part of the brain you just talked about, the limbic part of the brain, has extraordinary memories of everybody it meets. This was mm-hmm. built into us when we were animals. Like, you know, if a mm-hmm. dog sees somebody they haven't seen in a while, they know instantly that person is important to them.
Well, see, exactly. And I have grandchildren. I have three grandsons, Hurricane, Tornado, and Typhoon. And the little guy is only 2.5, but I remember when he was just, you know, just a little baby, how he recognized me when he saw me, and I thought, through these little baby eyes, he sees a face that he recognizes.
So what's going on inside? This is what's so exciting. So the same thing happened to me when I was holding my first grandson, my Gideon, when my daughter had her first baby. Gideon laid in my arms in 10 days after he was born, and he was calibrating, just what you described. I watched his little eyes map my face impeccably. And what's happening is that his heart was next to my heart, and this is one of the heart brains. It's the heart is a brain. We don't mm-hmm. know that. This is the oldest part of our brain system. This is one of the brains, and this is the oldest one. This is the one that we have to now learn to focus on more, because this is the one that's teaching us more about how to be human than probably any other part of our
brain.
Yes, the heart brain. And so when his little heart was beating next to my heart, we were calibrating our rhythm together.
Wow.
He was mapping that rhythm. He was then identifying it with other parts of me, and that became an imprint on him. He imprinted me, my mm-hmm. being, my energy, mm-hmm. and now he knew it. And so when he sees me again, he doesn't just see my face. As we come close to each other, his heart brain is picking up that same memory, which has been recorded and stored in his system of, this is my friend. This mm-hmm. is a person I love, and instantly I walk into the room, and it reactivates that memory system of me.
And to be fair, This is the kind of thing that all animals really have, isn't it?
Every single animal has this.
Yes. I mean, how can a mother seal go to sea for a week and come back and find only her pup in the, you know? And I know they have smells and sounds and that sort of thing, but it's really part of that, isn't it? But as you say, that's the oldest part, right? The heart brain.
That's the older part, and that's the part because we don't see it. You know, we have to remember now, we're all working on cell phones that are not connected. It's the same thing. The energy that gets picked up gets read. Like, how come my cell phone, when I'm talking to you and when there's no cord, how come I don't pick up all the other people around that are talking on cell phones?
Right?
So it gets targeted to the kind of energy, and it gets stored. And so, that's right, you can look at all these seals, and they all look alike. But you get in the room, and you start to sonar your child, and you pick it up.
Exactly. All right, what's the next brain?
So that's the oldest brain. The newest brain, and this is the one that we call the executive brain, and this is the one that actually starts to grow or develop at a very young age, like 3 months or 6 months, and then it gets distracted with other things, and we have to keep coming back to it. And we could easily turn this part of the brain off and turn people into becoming psychopaths. And I'll tell you what it is. It's called the prefrontal cortex.
Yep.
It's the part of the brain that holds the executive functioning of us. So it's the part where good judgment gets developed. That's why I said sociopaths, because we can really, if we don't develop it right and give kids a chance to learn how to make decisions and form judgments, which we often, parents take away that from children, right?
Right.
They play the master over a child and over-control them.
Right.
And if a child doesn't learn how to make those decisions, this part of the brain never develops. So it's good judgment. It's also empathy with others. In other words, being able to step into your shoes and say, I understand that from your perspective, why you feel that way.
So you're saying that the executive brain has power. The question is, are we channeling that power properly?
Absolutely. And if parents don't know it's there, they feel that their job is to over-control a child so that they can, quote, learn, or punish a child so that they can get better. That does not work. That disturbs that
you're
part of the brain.
You're not capable of knowing what that child is supposed to be doing. All right, what's another one?
Okay, the brain that everybody talks about, if you hear people talking about the amygdala, you know, that's the part of the brain that is about fear and protecting us. So when the umbilical cord gets cut, we're inside your mother's body, womb, you were being protected by the mother.
Right.
As soon as you come out, the amygdala fires off, and it's now your protective system so that you don't get hurt, okay? That part of the brain gets triggered, especially at work, all the time when people are afraid of what's going on.
Is that the fight or flight part?
You bet. Yep.
Yeah, the fight or flight part. Okay, so we got the heart brain, the executive brain, and the protective brain. Two more to come, folks. Fascinating stuff. Only the kind of stuff, we only get this kind of stuff from Judy Glazer. Judith Glazer, ladies and gentlemen. And you only get this kind of stuff on the Small Business Advocate Show. You're welcome. 20 after, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 20 after, 23 after, actually. 23 after the hour. Little Stone's bringing this back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can find all the things that we do here, the show, and the archives, and the articles, and the Brain Trust members, and lots of good stuff there on the homepage for you. Lots of stuff in the all the way back in the website. Thousands and thousands of pieces of information that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Also, you can subscribe to my free newsletter. Hope you'll check it out while you're there. And you can actually see a sample copy of the newsletter while you're there. It's free, by the way. We send it by email every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Link to my blog from there, which is also jimsblog.biz. And then, of course, don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz, where you get small business answers now. Judy Glazer is all over our website. She's deposited lots of words of wisdom with us over the years. And, Judy, we need your website, too, please.
Website is www.creatingwe.com.
Creatingwe.com, and they can find your book there too, can't they? All your books.
You bet.
Are you going to do a white paper on this on the five brain thing? Are you going to be writing anything up on that?
Actually, I am. It's on my blog already, and I have
my new book.
My new book is going to cover the whole thing. It's going to be the most exciting book I've written.
And when is it going to be ready?
It won't be ready for a year. Takes a while to get these things out.
Well, we expect to launch it on the show.
You bet. I would
love
that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Love that. Okay, so we're talking about the five brains, folks. that we all have, and one first one is the heart brain, the second brain is the executive brain, the third brain is the protective brain, that's the fight or flight brain.
Mm-hmm.
What's the fourth brain?
And by the way, they call that brain the reptilian brain.
So oh, yeah, the reptilian, exactly. Reptilian, yeah.
Yeah. We people
that's,
work out
that's
like
the primitive brain.
Pardon me?
What? That's the primitive one.
The primitive brain, exactly. And then the brain that most people talk about is the left and right brain.
Right.
You know, we talk about our intelligence. Some people have a lot of, are very logical and reasonable, and, you know, they get to the facts really well, and they store them well. That's the left brain, and the right brain is supposed to be the creative brain.
Right.
That's what I just described is actually the old way of talking about the part of the brain called the neocortex, because, in fact, we're finding out that more of what we used to think was the, just the creative and logical, they're just oppositional. They're two opposites. But that part of the brain really functions differently than what we thought.
They're like although a pendulum swing. You can't have a pendulum swing without going both ways.
That's right. Exactly. And the key in development, by the way, from the time a child is very young, development starts on the left side, then it moves to the right. And if we could actually map a child's growth as they're going through the first mm-hmm. couple of years, it goes from left to right to left to right because it's integrating what we know from one side to the other side so that we get a more holistic view through our brain than this, one side or the other.
Kelly Owyler wrote a book on paradoxes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that she talks about there, about paradoxes. This
That's
is
right.
I would call this the paradox brain, too, because mm-hmm. it's got both sides, and you can't really have one without the other, and you can't appreciate one without the other.
And that's what we're learning to do as we become more of the 21st century thinkers, is to realize
right.
that right that it's the integration of the two perspectives because, you know, it's not black or white, it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not either or, it's both and.
It's both and. And,
yeah.
and the more that people, especially as we look to harmonize our world and enable people to think less about friend and foe, but really think about how do we leverage each other in positive
right.
ways. We've
right.
got to learn that skill. It seems simple, but it's for some
and
people.
And you calling that the left-right brain or the neocortex? Is that the what's the best name?
The neocortex is the actual part, so it's the whole, both left and right put together.
All right.
Left and right together. And one of the other things that this part of the brain does, which people don't talk about a lot, is it marries what's called the steady state, or where we are in the now and the present, with the future state. In other words, it's that balance of how do we operate in the now and how do we then operate for the future. Some people spend too much time in the past, actually, which
right,
we'll get
right.
to, because that's the,
yeah.
where the limbic brain comes in. But so
what about the fifth brain?
And the limbic brain is the one that is
Spell
inside.
That. Spell
it's
that,
right above the reptilian brain. It's at the heart of everything because, like, when we started to talk, we talked about memories. And
mm-hmm.
we talked about making attachments of emotions onto things. This is the brain that, when emotional IQ came out, was making an attempt to understand how this limbic brain interacts with the rest of the brains to give us our behavior at work. You know,
mm-hmm.
Spell
that.
We get triggered.
Spell limbic.
L-I-M-B-I-C.
Okay.
This is the part of the brain that easily gets triggered and starts to put meaning and association because of our memory storage to things that happen around us. So as you said, you walk into a room and you see somebody and they look familiar. You immediately go into your memory bank and you
mm-hmm.
look for comparables and you say, oh, my God, I know that person. We met a long time ago and you've now
is this
attached.
Is this the place where whenever I'm trying to think of something, I can't come up with it, I say, okay, I'll think of it in a minute. Am I putting my limbic brain to work?
Yes, you're what's
it's sort of like a it's sort of like a hard drive.
You're priming your limbic brain. You're going. You have to move out of the working in the present to literally dipping back into the storage and
yeah.
starting to pull.
And sometimes
yeah.
you put it to work, and you intentionally forget about it. So it'll actually go retrieve that and bring it up when you weren't even thinking about it.
So here's an Indian ritual that is so powerful. At night, you're going to bed, and you think about the things that you can't solve, like problems
yep.
that you don't have answers.
Yep.
You think you don't have answers for.
Yep.
You prime your brain before you go to bed and say,
yep.
These are the questions I want to answer in the morning. And by the time morning comes around, all of a sudden, you will have dipped into your unconsciousness.
But you've got to give yourself time to think about that, because some of those answers come to you from the right brain, and if you don't give the right brain time to answer you, the left brain will tell it to shut up.
That's right. You've got to be patient. That's right. Got to be.
I'm putting a little whiteboard in my shower so I can write these things down. Otherwise, I forget them. Hey, Judy, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
CreatingWe.com, right?
That's correct.
That's the book and the website, folks, and lots of other good stuff there. Judith Glaser, G-L-A-S-E-R. She's the best. Thanks,
Thank
Judy.
You.
See you next time.
That's great. Okay.
Quick
terrific.
Break. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're still rocking and rolling. A lot more to come. Jorian Clark on the other side of these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.